Hi, welcome. I'm James Sturdivant. I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft, and today I'm really excited to have a fellow technical evangelist from Kentico, Brian Stolfus. He's gonna give us a little quick background on an application that they built internally that they're using to monitor their Kentico installations. Brian, how are you doing today?
Doing great, James. Thanks for having me. Kind of like you said, I guess we're both technical evangelists, so we do the same thing just for different companies. But like you mentioned, I work with a company called Kentico, and we're a .NET based CMS that developers can use to create a very powerful and capable website very quickly. And what I'm talking about today is specifically, we have a number of internal tools that we've developed for various purposes, line of business applications and just different things that we use. And our product actually contains what's called the Kentico Improvement Program, which is a optional program that when someone installs our software, they can choose to enable it. And what that does is it posts back to Kentico, and it lets us know what features they're using, which features they're not using, how many users they have, just kind of like a heartbeat on what's going on inside their system. Now, it's really important to say that is all completely anonymous. So when someone installs our software, we create a random GUID during their installation, and that's the only thing that gets passed to us. So we have no idea where this data is coming from. We just get a lot of data. And so we use this program to kind of cater to what it is our clients are actually using within our product. And it lets us know, which features people are actually using, which ones they aren't using. So it helps us kind of focus our development to make sure we're accommodating the most needs as possible. And again, they can choose to opt out if they want. And this kind of heartbeat of a post is on a configurable schedule. Some people do it once a day, some people do it once a week. But what's really cool about it is all of this data is actually going into Windows Azure Storage, and we created a table within Windows Azure Storage to where all that data is going into.
Why did you end up choosing Azure over a different service provider?
It really comes down to the scalability and flexibility of the Azure platform. I personally have used Azure for 5+ years, and I'm a huge fan of it, and I love integrating it wherever we can. But in this particular case, because we have a global audience and a global partner network that is using our product and making these installations, we needed a very scalable and capable platform that could accept these requests from wherever they come from around the world. And we needed that to be obviously something that's very flexible and can grow with our business as we get more information and we get more posts from more clients. That's going to continue to grow. So naturally, a cloud-based scalable platform like Azure Storage is makes a fantastic, solution for us because it allows us that growth and capability that, we'd have to build out with our own data center if we were doing something like that. Couple that with the ease of actually accessing the Windows Azure Storage system, whether it's through the SDK or straight up through the REST service. These are .NET, native .NET calls that are very familiar with our developers because our entire platform is .NET. So it was very seamless for us to integrate that into our application and be able to post this data to Azure very quickly.
Cool. So you actually are a bit of an Azure expert. You said you've been using it for about 5 years now.
I've used Azure for quite a while. I've actually given, I think, 4 or 5 boot camps on Microsoft's behalf for Windows Azure. I've spoken about it. I can't even count how many times I've spoken about it. Actually, I was just speaking about Azure Search yesterday at a user group in Tallahassee, Florida. So I don't know why. It's just one of my favorite passions. I love what the possibilities are with Azure. It's not just, a single thing that someone can use. It's an entire platform with a ton of features and capabilities that you can kind of pick and choose what you want to incorporate into your application. And with that, you really have endless possibilities of how you can enhance and improve your own performance, scalability, security. It's all there available to you. So I personally love working with that kind of fluid, rich, feature-rich capabilities in my applications.
No, that's awesome. So, and I understand that you're actually a Azure test writer too. You wrote a couple tests or questions for the test, and you're to blame for my failures when I had to take that test.
Maybe. So I was actually one of the question writers on the 7533 exam, and so if you don't like the questions on Azure websites and cloud services, I may be to blame for that. I was tasked with coming up with some difficult questions there. So yeah, I did. I have worked on that. I've worked on a number of other Microsoft tests in the past, but most recently being the 533 exam. So.
Okay, cool. So You said you ended up using the Azure Table Storage. Why did you choose table storage over more of like a more traditional like SQL storage?
So what we found with the table storage is because of the REST API that's in front of it and the provided SDK, it was just a lot easier and quicker for us to do that. This data that we have coming in is it's actually changes over time. So as we add new features to our product, we have new things that we want to track. And the Windows Azure Table Storage, you can actually configure that to have a dynamic schema. So you don't necessarily have to define that schema ahead of time. As you just add a new entity or a new property of an entity, you can just have that be added to your table storage and it becomes part of that record, which is a very flexible environment for us as we continue to improve our product. We add new features, new modules, or maybe just some new area of the product that we want to track in a hotfix or an upgrade. We can use that table storage to just post the new data along with our existing data so we don't lose anything. It's all just that we don't have to recreate any of our data structure. We just append this new data to what we have. So it's really that flexibility and the scalability of Windows Azure Table itself and being able to not define a schema ahead of time that we really like to incorporate into our application. And that's really one of the reasons we did it. So for to get to this data, so we have all of this stuff posting into Windows Azure Table Storage. And the kind of the other side of it was actually an internal tool that we developed that is a MVC5 based application that we're currently running in Windows Azure websites. And we use that tool to access this Windows Azure storage table data. So as all of our clients are posting to it using the .NET SDK, the Azure.NET SDK to post the data in, we're actually using the Azure Storage SDK on the other end to pull that data back out.
Okay, so you mentioned that the data doesn't is kind of schemaless. So is that essentially a NoSQL solution?
I guess it's kind of similar to a NoSQL solution. And so if no one's familiar, the Azure Table Storage is really a non-relational data storage kind of repository, meaning the data you put there is necessarily associated with some other table. So you have to define your own schema and your own relationships as you put the data up there. So which is very common in NoSQL implementations as well. So it is a very kind of fluid, amalgamous, storage repository, depending on how you're leveraging it and how you've defined your stuff ahead of time. So yeah, I would say it's very similar to a NoSQL kind of implementation.
Okay, cool. And so how do you end up handling that on the UI side of things? Because if the data is changing quite a bit, how are you gonna know which what the data is coming back?
Sure. What actually would be cool here is I'm going to go ahead and show a little bit of the application where we're using that SDK and
Okay, yeah.
how we kind of handle these dynamic table structures so that you can see exactly how we access cloud storage using the SDK. And then we are looping through using the entity framework. We loop through the data that's actually stored there and we kind of look at the properties of it to try to figure out what type of field that it is. So in our code, this is where we're accessing. Again, this is the MVC5 application that we wrote. Now, this is a rather small application. We're actually leveraging Azure Websites free tier because it's just an internal app that we have a handful of people inside of our organization access it. So it doesn't really need the burst full scale, scaling of the premium tier. It's a fairly small app. But Azure Websites actually is a great fit for it because we can kind of throw it up there very easily. If we need to, we can bring it back down and then, deploy when we have to. And it's easily handles the load that we put on it. But the code itself, if you can see, we're actually using the Azure SDK to access the storage account. So this is actually the Azure Storage SDK specifically, in which we pull back the table storage, which is in a table called module usage data. Then once we get inside of there, we define the partition key and the row key. And what this does, so as data is being posted from our clients, we get the same post from a client repeatedly because obviously it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of like a heartbeat. So they may post, the same client may post to us, once a day, once a week, once a month, but we're going to get repeated records from that client as their module usage and everything changes. So what we do is we define a partition key and a row key, and we use that GUID that we create, this dynamic GUID that gets created upon installation, and we use that as our row key for all this data coming in. So what that allows us to do is to easily categorize all the posts from a particular client. Now, again, we have no idea who this client is. All we know is that row key is going to be unique to that client. So we use that GUID in the row key so that way we can easily identify those. And as we pull back the data for each row, we then loop through the property types of the particular column to try to figure out what type of field that it is. And so we kind of have defined some things here, like a binary value, Boolean. It's all your standard data types that we deal with. And this allows us to kind of iterate through all the fields that are in the table storage. And then we then process that data to determine it was, you know, this particular field is referring to this module, you know, the e-commerce module or the number of users. And we have proprietary code inside of our, inside of this application that kind of looks at that. But this kind of dynamic entity model implementation in which we loop through and look at those properties allows us just to throw in a new field whenever we need to. And because of the property type that's defined, whenever we add that in our application, when we post the data to Azure Storage, we define the property type of the field. This code is reading that, and so we can easily determine what type of value it is, and then that determines how we're going to use that data. So if it's an integer of the total number of users in your system, that's one thing. If it's what, you know, what specific modules are you using, that may be a string array of every module name that you're using. So that the value, the property can be very different depending on the type of data we post in. But because we have that dynamic schema in Azure Table Storage, it allows us to post really whatever we want to. And then this code allows us to pull that out using the SDK and loop through it very easily using the entity model framework.
Very cool. And so then you get that data back and you just post it back to the actual view.
So what we actually do here, and this is actually my code, and it's one of my first forays into the MVC in a real project, so please don't judge my MVC capabilities. So what I'm actually doing is I'm pulling this back into a data table, and I put that data table in the memory cache because it's a significant amount of data. We have tens of thousands of records flowing into this Azure Table Storage, and again, it's increasing every day as more and more clients are posting their feedback data to us. And we do go through a purge of data at some point, but really it's that historical data over time that tells us this is a particular feature that a lot of people are using, or this is one more and more people are using. So we really do have to retain that data for quite some time. So again, the expandability of Azure Storage, I mean, this is minimal amounts of storage space that we're using because it's just a bunch of, you know, just a bunch of data. But the Azure Storage is a great location for that because they can just keep expanding to however many terabytes we decide to keep. But when we pull that data, it is a pretty big amount of data that we're pulling back. So in this particular project, I'm actually pulling that back to a data table, and then I throw that into my memory cache, and then I query against that whenever I display our visual representation of the data. And we have a number of charts and kind of aggregates and summaries that we display for our internal tool, but this is the code that actually pulls that and then stuffs it all into our data table. And then from there, in the view, I use to try to generate, what is the pie chart of that particular data. And so I'm looping through that data table to look for a particular identity to determine how many of a particular option is selected, and then I dynamically create a pie chart based off of that data. So I'm constantly going back to that data table. So I'm putting it in the memory cache, so I don't have to repeatedly query the Azure Table Storage. I can just pull it the one time and then query it over and over and over as the people need to look at the information.
Cool. Yeah. So you essentially you're collecting a whole bunch of data and then doing some analysis on it to provide some insights into what your users are actually using, so that you can either pour more resources into those or develop more appropriate tools for them.
That's exactly correct. You know, the improvement program that we have, again, it produces a lot of data because people are constantly posting to us. We're using Azure Storage to store that large amount of data. We're using this dynamic query schema or this dynamic schema so that we can constantly change that if we need to. So it'll just keep adapting as we adapt our product with new tracking capabilities. And then ultimately that data is being used internal to Kentico so that we can help shape our product and to make sure that we're focusing on the areas that provide the most benefit to our clients and the industry as a whole. So it's a very big, you know, holistic view of how we actually shape our product. And we're basically leveraging Azure Storage and Azure websites to store that data and extract it out in a very scalable environment for us, which is turned out to be a fantastic solution for us, and a very scalable one and very capable one that allows us to continue to improve our product. And that's really the whole goal of the entire program. The improvement program is to help us improve our product with, you know, passive information from our clients, letting us know what features they're actually using. And with this kind of solution, we can see that very easily in a visual representation and understand exactly how our clients are using our product, which allows us to shape it even better and accommodate their needs even better.
That's great. That's great stuff. We love to see that. So, well, thank you very much, Brian, for talking with us today and giving us a little tour of the code that you've implemented there. And how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. I post all of my blogs on devnet.kensico.com, which is our developer portal. You can always just go to kensico.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian_Soltis. It's BRYAN_SOLTIS. And I love to talk about Azure. Again, I try to speak as much as possible. I think over the last year, I've probably spoken on Azure about 4 or 5 times at various events at Code on the Beach in Florida. I live in Florida, so a lot of the events I speak at are in Florida. But I love to talk about Azure. I'm a really big fan of it. I love to see where the platform's going, and I really like to hear what people are doing with it. And you would just be absolutely amazed at some of the implementations people are using with it. And it's really, you know, it's a really a jump start for innovation. And I think a lot of people can achieve some really awesome solutions, much like we did with our improvement program, just by adopting even pieces of the platform and seeing how they can use it in their organization.
Awesome. Great. Thanks so much for sharing with us, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, James.